I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided Radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided Radio this awesome Sunday morning. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show today. I hope you all had an amazing Christmas. And here we are, the Sunday before 2020, the Sunday before the new year. And I love this time of year. You guys know that I do. It's all about your goals and all about your dreams. And our weekly winning word, most of you know, if you're a member of I've Decided and you get your weekly winning resource and you have your success planner and journal, our weekly winning word this week is believe. And so I've invited my friend, Pastor Chuck Tate from Rock Church to join me in the studio this morning. Hey, Pastor Chuck.
Hey, Kim. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm honored to be here.
I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this. I always love having you on the show because I learn something. It's motivating. It's inspiring. And obviously, I don't know, you just get that preaching on and I start getting excited about the word and the, everything. So I couldn't think of a better guest to help me dive into this word, believe, than you.
Well, thank you. And I'm inspired by you. I love what you're doing, the impact you have on everyone in this region and beyond. I always leave after hanging out with you and inspired and excited and ready to tackle some dreams. So here we go.
Well, this is going to be a rocking show. I kind of just feel that way. So, all right. So, well, we were having some conversation before we started recording here. And, you know, as I think about the word believe, and I said to you, Pastor Chuck, I said, I can't imagine not believing that I was created. Like, what happens to someone if we don't believe that we have a purpose? If we don't believe that we were born for success, if we don't believe that there is a creator who created us to do something, I don't know how a person that would impact them. The idea is just amazing to me to even think. Because everything I do is because I'm constantly thinking God has something for me to do and I need to do it.
Absolutely. I think when you look at life through a biblical worldview, it's natural to have faith, to believe, to stand on the word of God, to pursue dreams. I'm not implying that if you don't believe the Bible, then you can't. I just believe when you take a look at Scripture, you know, one of the things that I always say in our church is this: the Bible is 66 books written by 40 authors. You have 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. It spans 1,500 years. It was written on 3 continents from 16 countries in 3 languages. And it's all about one hero of the story. And we celebrated that hero just a few days ago at Christmas, right? Jesus. In the Bible, it's 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses of God speaking to us. So when I look at archaeological evidence, there's more archaeological discoveries to validate Scripture than any book in history. When I look at scientific evidence and circumstantial evidence and historical evidence, and I look at all the prophecies that were fulfilled through Christ that were written hundreds of years before they happened, I believe it requires more faith not to believe than to believe. So I believe. and when we believe, it's easier to have a vision. And when we have vision, discipline follows.
I love that. And, you know, I'm right with you. I believe, too. And what's so funny, I just was listening to Book on Tape. My daughter and I went on college visits, the Cause for Christ. Lee Strobel.
The Case for Christ.
Yes, Lee Strobel. Sorry, I messed that up. The Case for Christ, because I highly recommend it. But I was listening to this book on tape. My daughter was in the front seat. We were listening. And as he was sharing some of the facts that we have now, I said to my daughter, I go, I can't believe it. I swear it would take more faith to not believe. And as soon as I said that, he said that. And now you just said that. And my daughter's like, have you heard this book before? I'm like, no, but it's just the way you got to see it, because in my eyes, it's so obvious.
It really is. I mean, we have more manuscripts for the Bible than any book in history. If you will take an honest, objective look at all the evidence and weigh it against everything else, it's easier to believe the Bible. It really is.
It's true. I believe. I'm like you, Pastor Chuck. And, you know, we want to encourage you in this show today. We want to encourage you to believe, you know, and maybe you do believe, but maybe you had a tough year. You know, maybe 2019 wasn't the best year, and it just kind of knocked you down a little bit. And maybe your faith might just be a little shaky going into 2020. But today, this show is going to inspire you to get back up and stick that stake in the ground, put your faith back where it needs to be, and keep moving forward and make it happen in 2020. And that's what believing is all about. I'd like for you, we're going to run out of time in this segment, but we can kind of get started. I'd like for you to share, you were telling me about the story.
Yes.
About the guy who was saying, you know, with the teenager.
Yeah, so back in the day, I worked for a youth evangelist, and we traveled all over the country in Canada hosting youth conventions. And at that time, the evangelist that I worked for was the most sought after youth communicator. And he was on a plane, and he was sitting next to a child psychologist, and they just began to have this conversation. So this guy that I worked for, his name was Eastman. Eastman asked the psychologist, what do you think is the number one problem today that teenagers face? And the guy didn't stutter. He answered right away, and he said, discipline. So the guy that I work for, Eastman, he began to kick that around the rest of the flight and think about that and kind of chew on that. And the more he thought about it, Kim, the more he disagreed with it. And here's why. He said, discipline always follows vision. So I don't believe the number one problem teenagers face is discipline. It's vision. And then he shared the story when he was a youth pastor and he had a kid in his youth group that always showed up with his shirt untucked and his hair was not combed, always disheveled. He didn't bathe. He didn't use deodorant. He didn't smell the greatest. And it was obvious that his self-esteem was pretty low. And this is how this kid showed up every week. And of course, it was good that he was coming to be a part of this youth group. Well, one day, it was a Wednesday night youth service, and this young man showed up with his hair combed. He had a shirt tucked in. He was wearing new clothes. He had cologne on. He smelled good. He had brushed his teeth. I mean, it was a complete transformation. And Eastman said, oh my goodness, what in the heck happened to you? What happened? And he found out after having a short conversation that he came in contact with a UFO, an unidentified female object.
He believed. Hey, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I am in the studio with Pastor Chuck Tate from Rock Church, and we're just having a great conversation about our weekly winning word, believe. And before the last break, we were talking about UFOs. I'm not quite sure. We got to come back to that because...
I got to finish the rest of the story.
Yeah. People are like,
hey, I was listening to this radio show about UFOs. I don't know about that. No, so anyway, I was telling the story about this young man who went, you know, showed up at this youth group every week, just hair unkempt and just kind of disheveled and a mess. But then he showed up one Wednesday night and a completely different transformation taking place and looked good, smelled good. And one of the things I said was this guy that I worked for, Eastman, found out that this kid had come in contact with a UFO. And by UFO, I mean an unidentified female object. He fell in love with the girl, and because he got a vision, discipline followed. He began to take care of himself. So the number one problem, according to the psychologist, was discipline. But then the way that Eastman looked at it was, no, it's not discipline, it's vision, because discipline always follows vision. And if we're going to believe for a better 2020, it has to go beyond just simply believing, but having a vision for 2020. What do you, like you said, goals. Let's write something down. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 says, write down your vision, make it plain so that the herald can pick it up and run with it. So if we want to lose weight, or we want to write that book, or whatever your goal, whatever your dream is that you want to pursue in 2020, write it down so discipline can follow that vision. But the first step is, you got to believe you can do it.
Right. You got to believe that you were born for a purpose. It's truly, it goes back to that. And, you know, I know a lot of people say, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. I kind of getting stuck in this rut. I've been working this job. I don't really know what my purpose is. If I tell everyone, if you just take a, you can, in moments, you can sit back and think about your life, where you've been, who your parents are, what you know, where God has placed you, the experience that you have, there's something in your heart that you're like, I really could do this. I want to do it. You just start there.
Yeah. I always ask people, what desires do you have? What's in your heart? What is something that you think about often that you can envision yourself doing, accomplishing? I mean, for me, it was publishing a book. It was a dream for years and years, and I thought about it. I believed I could do it, but honestly, it didn't happen until I sat down and began to do some work.
Discipline
followed my vision, but it all started, I had to believe in myself that I could do it. I believed that God could open up doors and help me do it.
Yeah. Well, our weekly winning quote this week says, believe you can, and you're halfway there.
Hey, there you go. That's exactly right.
Believe you can, and you're halfway there. But yeah, you got to believe that that all of those things within your heart will come to fruition. And you just start. You start, and then it starts, like I say this all the time, success begets success. So once you start, you kind of...
It just falls into place. Yeah. It is. I mean, and you're an example of that. I mean, and I think that's exactly right. If we wait for the right timing, it'll never come.
Oh yeah.
We just have to do it.
When I started, I've decided. I didn't have capital. I didn't have money. I didn't know how. Anyone in their right mind would have said, "You are not in a position to open a business. You don't need to do this right now." But God said, "Do it." You know, and I believed that what he was calling me to, he would bring to fruition. Yeah. And it's been not easy. There's been times where I'm like, Lord, are you there? are you sure this is what you want me to do? Because how are we going to pay this bill? Or, you know, I've got this conference coming up, and where's the resources coming from, and or whatever. But it's always worked out.
It always works out because God always responds to faith.
Yeah.
Right. Which is belief. And it's a believing that you can accomplish something before you even do it, before you accomplish it. You know, so similar experience for me, my wife and I, more than 21 years ago, actually 22 years ago this month, we left our job security, and we left that national ministry that I talked about earlier in the show, and we pursued a vision that God placed in our heart, which was to plant a church for people who don't feel comfortable in church. And this was before there were contemporary churches on every corner, and we didn't have resources. We just had a belief that we were doing what God had asked us to do. So we packed up U-Hauls and moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Central Illinois, and planned our church, put things together for 5 months, believing that if we would step out in faith, God would meet us where we were at. And the rest is history. And our church is now more than 21 years old, and we have 3 weekend services, and it's amazing to see all the life change that has happened throughout that, but it all took a step of faith.
Right.
When you didn't know what was ahead, you're just willing to believe that God would do what he said he would do.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I hear people say is, well, how do you know it's God? How do you know when it's not just yourself telling yourself to do it?
That's a great question. Well, I think here's how.
You know, Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. We know that God places desires within your heart. So the way that I will come to the conclusion on whether it's God or whether it's, you know, the pizza I ate last night is, does it line up with the Word of God? Obviously, I have a biblical worldview. I weigh everything with Scripture. I already mentioned why I believe the Bible is true. So for me, I look at it this way. Do my desires contradict Scripture, or are they aligned with it? And if it's aligned with it, then I believe that God can use that, and I'll give it to him, because I believe God places desires within my heart. So my desire was to write a book. And the way that I recognized on whether or not it was God is I gave it to him. I prayed about it. I gave it to him, and he began to open doors, and I just began to take steps of faith and believing, and next thing you know, I'm on that path to publishing a book.
It's funny. I love that scripture. I have to, I'll tell you that I used to think that that scripture, and maybe you can interpret this way, and maybe in some degree a little, but I used to hear God will give you the desires of your heart, meaning whatever I want, yeah. God's going to give me that.
Yeah.
But it's funny you brought that scripture up, because that is exactly the scripture that I use in understanding and believing that it's God's voice. And I know that he will not place a desire in my heart that doesn't come from him if it aligns with his word.
Yes.
And so if he gave me the idea to start a company that's going to help people achieve their goals and dreams and fulfill their purpose, then I know that it's from him, because he placed that desire in my heart because I'm looking to him, and it aligns with scripture that our purpose isn't about us, it's about other people.
Love
it. It's the same. And we're going to take a break, but I want to talk about your book when we come back, 41 Will Come, because that's all about believing.
All right.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show today. We are in the studio with Pastor Chuck Tate from Rock Church. I just love the conversation that we're having about our weekly winning word, believe. It's just such a powerful, powerful word. And when it comes to you achieving your goals and your dreams, those desires that you have deep in your heart, you have to believe. You have to believe, first and foremost, that you can do it. But you also have to believe that there was a creator that created you to do it. And if he created you to do it, he will provide the resources that you need in order to be successful at it. And, you know, I just love, that's why we started this I've Decided community, our organization. And I think that's why God placed it on my heart, and the desire to bring a community of people together where we could provide all the pieces of the puzzle for success and to help people see that they do have a purpose. And with all the right resources and tools and motivation, inspiration, you can be successful. You can achieve your goals and dreams. And that's what it's all about. And as we go into 2020, I would love to have you join our community. You can do that at ivedecided.org. It's so easy. It literally takes a couple minutes. And once you join, you get all the benefits of being a part of our community, like access to 3 motivational and leadership conferences. You'll get your 2020 motivational and leadership, or excuse me, your 2020 success planner and journal. You'll start getting your weekly winning resource with your weekly winning word, and just the monthly success socials, and all the pieces of the puzzle for success. So if you haven't joined our community, now's the time to do it as you go into the new year with your goals, and we want to help you be successful. And it'll be awesome to see you at our February 1st, the kickoff motivational leadership conference. I'd love to see you there. I want to get back to our conversation, though, Pastor Chuck, because as we were leaving for the last break, you have a book you mentioned. And I really wasn't even thinking about that book when I invited you on the show. I was just thinking, well, Pastor Chuck, he's a pastor. He knows all about believing in, you know, the Creator, and I'm sure you would have great conversation with me because of your faith and your teaching ability. And then, but as you mentioned your book, I thought, ooh, 41 will come. Like, that's all about belief.
What's funny is I came in not thinking about it either.
So we got to talk about that.
And I mean, can I just say something too? And you didn't ask me to say this, but for those that are listening, you do need to get involved with I've Decided, because I had the opportunity to share about my book at one of the conferences. And I tell you, I was so impressed with the community, and you have a tribe of people that are motivated, that are inspired, that are full of belief. And I tell you what, that's contagious. You're contagious, Kim. Yeah. And when I'm around you, I'm like, hey, I'm ready to get out my journal and start writing down, right? And that's, yeah, I'm actually working on it right now. So, it's such a great community and organization. And, it really is a tribe that I think will help hold up your arms and will help increase your faith. So just throwing that out there.
Well, thank you. Yeah. That's awesome, Pastor Chuck. I really appreciate that.
Well, yeah, no, you're welcome. So 41 will come then. All right. Well, that's the title of a book that I published a couple years ago. And the subtitle is Holding On When Times Are Tough and Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. So the message of the book is to purpose in your heart that no matter what season you're in, you won't quit, but that you will hold on until your, quote, 41 comes to pass, your dream comes true. And that requires faith. That requires believing. So let me give, I guess, a few examples for those listening going, wait, the number 41, I still don't get it. What are you talking about? All right. So in the beginning, in the Bible, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. 41 came and the rain stopped. So on day 41, the rain stopped. Now, when you look at scripture, the number 40, whether it's 40 days or 40 years, represents a season of waiting. All right. And then on the 41st day or 41st year, oftentimes there is a new beginning or a second chance. So that's why I'm breaking it down. So in the beginning, it rained, it poured for 40 days, 40 nights. On day 41, the rain stopped. Moses, he committed murder, hid on the backside of a desert for 40 years, but 41 came, and he was commissioned by God to be the rescuer of Israel. He was given a second chance, and he led the children of Israel out of slavery. All right? So then the children of Israel, after they were led out of slavery, they ended up in a wilderness for 40 years, but 41 came, and a new generation entered the promised land. All right, one of my favorite stories, and this is the story that we focus on in the book, 41 will come, David and Goliath. The giant Goliath challenged Israel, the army of Israel, for 40 days, taunting them, bullying them, begging somebody to fight him, and somebody did, and on day 41, David slew Goliath. A couple examples in the New Testament. The bottom line, the message of 41 will come is this: whether you're in a downpour and you feel like you are just being rained on, right? The message of the book is don't quit. 41 will come. The sun will come back out. Maybe you're staring at a giant that stands between you and your dream come true. Don't quit. Believe God and his word that giant's going to fall. And maybe you're just in need of a second chance and you've been wandering around in this wilderness and you just need a new beginning, a new season. What better time to believe for a new season than right on the cusp of entering 2020? So don't quit. 41 will come.
I'm believing that 2020 is my 41.
All right, yes.
It might as well be 2041.
Yes, yes. It's 2020. 20 plus 20 is 40, so 41 will come.
I am believing. And I love that because 40 represents that. I love how you said, whether it's 40 years, 40 days, 40 months, the number 40 just represents that season of waiting.
Yes.
So we all have a season of waiting in our life. There's a time where God's growing us, teaching us, putting all the pieces into place. I think back to my very first conference, the very first one that we had in 2014. This was going to be 2020, right? This is our sixth conference. So yeah, 2014, our very first one. And I wanted 1,000 people to come. Like that, I'm like, I was believing. I'm like, God told me to do it. He's going to bring the people. We're going to get 1,000 people. And we rented out the ballroom at the Civic Center. That's how much faith and belief I had that we were going to get that 1,000 people. And, of course, we didn't. We nowhere close. We barely had 200, and we now that I think about it, that's even amazing. But still, I wanted 1,000, so 200 was like kind of a letdown. And we were like, all these people in this big fishbowl, like all this, right? We were like little fish in a big pond, or whatever that message is. And but I think now I'm like, thank you, God. If we would have had 1,000 people show up, half of them would have left because we would they'd have been standing in line for days.
Yeah, but you know what? You also didn't let that detour you from your destiny. You didn't quit. You didn't throw in the towel. And the same is true with our church. We had this huge vision that we were going to, you know, go to multi-site and campuses, right? You know, and it didn't go the way we expected it to, but God's been in it because we never quit.
That's right. You got to keep going. Hey, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. I'm in the studio today with Pastor Chuck Tate. And if you've been tuning in, you know that we have been talking about our weekly winning word, believe, and just had some great, great conversation. I love that it just, ironically, your book, 41 Will Come, neither one of us were even thinking. I mean, I totally wasn't even thinking about your book and that your message at the conference that you spoke at, but it just obviously rolled in so perfectly because it's all about believe. And we have to believe that God's plan is perfect, and that if there's a waiting period, if he doesn't give you exactly what you think you want at that time, it's for your own good. Kind of the story I told about our conference. If we'd have had 1,000 people show up at that first year, we'd have been done before we got started because we wouldn't have been able to manage all that. But I love that message. 41 will come. You got some great stories behind that one, too. The football team, the one.
Yeah, a lot of stories.
I don't know if we have time for that whole story, but just an amazing story. But believe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the and the book is available on Amazon. And there's a soft cover version, a Kindle version, if you're into ebook, or even an Audible version where I had the opportunity to narrate it. And that's kind of, that's my new jam anyways. I love audiobooks. I listen to about a book a week. And, so if that's your thing, then you can definitely go and check it out, because the reality is it all began as something that God placed in my heart, a desire, like I mentioned earlier, and God will always do his part, but he was waiting for me to do my part. And when you read the book, I'm not going to tell the story, but there is a story. The result of a football game is what launched the book idea. And now I'll fast forward. The book's been out for a couple of years, and now I've received messages from South Africa and the Philippines and Canada. There's a woman who strapped a copy of my book inside her vest and jumped out of a plane with it to smash fear in the mouth and fulfill her dream to do just that. And there's so many stories, and I shared all that not to say, look at me, but to say, look what can happen if you will believe that 2020 can be a year where you can fulfill some dreams and you can step out in faith and believe God to do some huge things in your life.
And again, we're believing this is going to be our year of the 41 will come. And I want you guys to stand with me in that and believe that for yourself. I have to say this because I want you to verbalize it and declare it out loud to everybody listening, because I heard you mention a second book. But we want to make sure that happens. So you need to declare that.
So
right
yeah,
now.
You know, you said declare. It reminds me of a story. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels. I think that can tie into our word of the month, believe. Word of the week, believe. And that is in Mark chapter 10. I'm not going to read it, but there's a story of this blind man. His name is Bartimaeus, and he's sitting on the roadside outside Jericho, and he hears that Jesus will be passing by. Now, up to this moment, he doesn't have much of a life, you know, just sit on a roadside every day begging. That's how he makes his living. Probably dreams of a better life, and deep down inside, hopes for a better life. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is passing by, and he's heard Jesus is healing people. He can open blind eyes and deaf ears and make the crippled walk and do all these miracles. So he's thinking this is his chance. So the story goes that Jesus passes by, and there's a crowd of people, because everywhere Jesus went, there was this multitude of people following him. So he just began to cry out. And the scripture says that he yelled out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That was his chance. He was seizing his moment. It was a new year, right? A new beginning, 2020, whatever. This is his chance for a better life. And he yells out to Jesus. His goal was to get the attention of Jesus so he perhaps could get a miracle that can lead to a better life. Well, the crowd told him to shut up. The crowd told him to be quiet. They yelled at him. That's what it says. So in that moment, he has an opportunity to hang his head, or he can shout louder. And the scripture says that that's exactly what he did. He shouted louder. He didn't allow that to detour him. Haters are going to hate anyway, right? He shook it off, and he began to just yell out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," and just began to yell it out. And the scripture says that Jesus stopped. And Jesus didn't go to him, but Jesus said, "Bring him to me." So here's what's cool, Kim. The same people that ridiculed him and told him to shut up are the same ones that delivered him to his miracle. They brought him to Jesus, and then Jesus said 9 words to him that changed his life. And those 9 words is this: "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "I want to see." And Jesus healed him. So I believe that God is speaking those same 9 words to us as we enter this new year. What do you want me to do for you? What desire is in your heart? Proverbs 16:3 is my favorite scripture. It says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." So take that dream, take that desire, offer it up to him, and then watch what he will do. Because when your plans become his plans don't fail. The question is, do you believe? Bartimaeus, he believed that if he could just get the attention of Jesus, he would have a different life. He would have a better life. He would receive a miracle, but he had to fight for it, and he did. It all comes down to belief. All comes down to faith. Jesus responded to his faith to shout louder in the midst of adversity. And I think that's what we need to do. We have these goals, we write down these visions, we're heading this new year, and we need to already know that opposition will come. All right. Sometimes we make these goals. I'm gonna lose this much weight, and then 1 week into the new year, we've already given up. We can't
somebody
do that this year.
Somebody shows up at your door with a tray of cookies.
Yes.
I had these Christmas cookies for you. I forgot to bring them. And that's what happens. But yeah. You got to figure. You know, you got to count in for those oppositions that are going to happen.
Yes.
As you shared that story, Pastor Chuck, I just chuckle inside because I think all these stories that you share, and including obviously that one, I've read it, I've heard it, I've applied it to my life in different ways, but just hearing you share it from your point of view and those words, "What do you want me to do for you?" I literally got chills from head to toe. I've heard that so many times, but the revelation that just came when you spoke it in that analogy was something different than I've never thought. I really think we all need to say to God, you know, we need to not say to God, but believe that God is asking us, "What do you want me to do for you?"
Yeah, and know that he wants us to go to him. James 1:5 says that we have not because we ask not, right? And in fact, one translation says that he will not rebuke you for asking. We just have to be willing to shout, right, to get his attention and believe his word is true.
Believe.
There you go.
We can't say it enough.
Yeah.
Hey, we're done here. I can't believe we're out of time. Pastor Chuck, I really appreciate you being on the show with me today. This has been great. I hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have, and we'll definitely have you back again.
Hey, thank you. I was honored to be here. Love what you're doing.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?